Ralph left, and I made my way back towards headquarters. I hobbled down the creek a ways until I came to the place where the horses had worn a path up the hill, then dragged myself up on top. I had come down that hill a lot faster than I went up it, which explained why I was hobbling and dragging around. Sure was sore. I got to the top of the hill and stopped to catch my breath and rest my bones and let the wind blow my ears around. Down below, I could see Ralph making his way up the creek towards a man who was fishing on the bank. Ralph and his big ears had certainly ruined my case. Just when I'd thought the clues were lined up and moving in the right direction, he'd started yapping about fresh, young, tender, juicy, larrupin' good chick. Never mind. Just never mind. There was something about those words that... Never mind again. I started back to headquarters, keeping to the ditch beside the county road. A big tank truck came along, blowing some dark smoke out of the two chimneys above the cab. Under ordinary conditions, I would have barked him off the ranch, but I was too sore to get myself worked up into a good mad. I just sat in the ditch and glared at him as he roared past. Went on down the road, limping and counting my miseries, when I heard hoofbeats in the distance. I looked around and saw the entire horse herd coming my way, the work string as well as the brood mares. I hoped they were going to water and hadn't seen me, and I crouched down in the grass. I have no use for horses, just don't like them. They've got this superior attitude, see, that makes them hard to take, even on a good day. And so far, this hadn't been one of my better days. They came kicking and bucking down the hill. I stretched flat out on the ground and directed all my powers of concentration toward making myself invisible. Horses don't have such good eyes, don't you know? And they can be fooled. Next thing I knew, I was surrounded by 13 head of horses, which just goes to show that sometimes they can't be fooled. I didn't move, just rolled my eyes around the circle of horse heads. You don't realize how big they are until you got 13 of them standing over you. I figured maybe they'd seen me, and there was no use trying to hide anymore. Afternoon. Silence. Then a cocky, stocky bay horse named Casey spoke up.
Say, pup, you know where you are?
Let's see. There's the barn over there.
You in horse pasture, son. You in our place. You in trouble.
That so? I pushed myself up to a sitting position. Well, maybe you don't remember who I am.
You're the ranch mutt, ain't you?
No, you're thinking of Drover, short-haired, stub-tailed, little white dog.
No, I'm thinking of you, puppy.
In that case, you must know that I'm Hank the Cow Dog, head of ranch security. For some reason, they all laughed. Did I say something funny? Casey wore a sneer on his big, flappy mouth.
Son, you may be a hot dog over on your side of the fence, but you in the horse pasture now. And in the horse pasture, hey, if you ain't a horse, you ain't nothing.
That's just your opinion, of course. In my circles, we think just the opposite. Casey bent his head down.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, we often say that if you ain't nothing, you can't possibly be a horse. I'm sure you'd go along with that. He gave me a blank stare. Then he grinned and exposed two rows of the biggest teeth I'd ever seen.
But the point is, you in the wrong place, and we don't like dogs.
I can understand that. I've met a few I didn't like either. There's good and bad in every breed. I'm sure you'd go along with that. He shook his head. Or maybe you wouldn't. I was beginning to feel a little lonesome there in the middle of all those horses, and figured it was time to check out the escape routes. It appeared to me that every exit passed between a horse's legs, which wasn't too encouraging. A guy could get his back stepped on trying to escape, which is probably why the old-timers used to say, don't put all your backs in one exit. Might get stepped on, see?
You know what we do with dogs that get into our pasture?
No, I don't, but maybe I should point something out here.
We bite them. We push them around with our noses. We step on their tails.
Maybe you've forgotten that I have clearance to work this entire ranch, including the horse pasture. Casey looked around the circle.
All right, y'all. We got us a dog here accused of trespassing. This court is now in session.
Now, hold on just a...
Does the defendant have anything to say?
I stood up. Yes, as a matter of fact, I...
Sit down, son. The defense rests its case. No further questions. Now let the prosecution present its case.
A big brown horse named Popeye stepped out.
He's guilty.
You sure?
Yep.
Casey looked down at me and shook his head.
Puppy, looks like the evidence in this case is just overwhelming.
I looked around the circle of eyes. All the horses were stamping at flies and swishing their tails. I pinned my ears back and growled. You can't get by with this. That was the best I could come up with. Casey turned to his pals.
After hearing all the evidence in this case and giving this pup a fair trial, we find him guilty of trespassing in the horse pasture. What shall the sentence be?
Bite him! Bite him! Bite him! Bite him! Bite him!
By this time, the hair was standing up on my back, and deep growls were rumbling up from my throat. I'd advise you guys to keep your distance, because the first horse that... At that very moment, one of the horses behind me bent down and bit me on the bohunkus. I jumped straight up and squalled, wheeled around and bit him right back on the nose. Another one got me on the back. I nailed him, but by that time they were coming from all directions. I was, by George, surrounded. And while I'm fairly comfortable with odds of 5 or 6 to 1, this fight showed signs of getting out of hand. It was time to light a shuck and get the heck out of there. I tore into them, knocked 3 or 4 of them to the ground, and literally clawed and gnawed my way to daylight. With 3 head of horses on my tail, I sprinted across open ground towards the home pasture and ducked under the barbed wire fence just in the nick of time. With the fence between us, I turned to Casey and Popeye and Happy. Let that be a lesson to you. They laughed. Next time you won't get off so easy. They laughed harder. There was no future in trying to talk to a bunch of dang smart-alecky horses. I had made my point and throwed a good scare into them, and I didn't have time for any more foolishness. I had work to do. It took me a good 5 minutes to lick down all the spots where they'd bit me and made my hair stand up, and there was one place in the middle of my back that I couldn't quite reach. I bent my neck as far around as it would go, extended my tongue to its maximum length, and walked around in circles trying to get a good lick at it. But every time I moved, it moved, and it managed to stay just a few inches beyond the reach of my tongue. This was very frustrating. I try to keep my coat neat, don't you know? And I don't like to go around looking like the rats that chewed on me all night. I chased that darn spot until my tongue got tired and my head was spinning. Never did get it. Had to roll in some mud to smooth it down. I hopped up and gave myself a good shake, scratched a spot just below my left ear, and tried to recall what I'd been working on before that maniac cowboy had hit me with his pickup door and knocked me into Spook Canyon. Let's see. Ralph, the mailman, horses, Beulah. Mercy me, I could still see her gorgeous collie ears flapping in the wind as I ran along beside the pickup, and her perfect collie nose, and her brown eyes melting in adoration as she watched her hero perform death-defying tricks that no ordinary dog, especially Plato, could have matched. Why, at that very moment, she was probably gazing into the distance and sobbing, wondering if the love of her life had survived his plunge off the cliff. No doubt she had tried to leap out of the pickup and rush to my side, but Plato had stopped her. I could almost hear it. No, Beulah, I can't let you do this.
Let go, please, he needs me.
But you could be killed, jumping out of a moving pickup.
Better to die in love than to live in anguish. I leap now into the great unknown, to join my beloved cow dog who lieth wounded and bleeding and calleth my name.
Don't be foolish, Beulah.
Unhand me, I must go to him.
No, I can't allow it. And etc. Actually, Plato was right in stopping her. She might have broken a leg jumping out of the pickup. It's amazing what a woman in love will do. And just think, she was ready to do all that just for me. Kind of makes a guy wonder what it is about himself that gets a lady so stirred up. Good looks are part of the answer, but there's bound to be more to it than that. Well, I was in the midst of these delicious thoughts when it suddenly occurred to me that when I'd left my post several hours ago, I had been involved in a very serious investigation, the case of the vanishing chickens. Ordinarily, I'm not easily distracted, and yet, I had been distracted. Easily. Well, I had wasted enough time with women and jailhouse dogs and horses and the mailman. I had work to do, clues to find, suspects to interrogate, and a murderer to catch.